Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
Hey, mommy.
And Glenn Leverins.
That's how I know. This is Morning Air.
It's Monday, August 28th. Good morning and welcome to hour number two of Morning Air on the memorial of St. Augustine, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. I'm John Morales. Glenn Leverins is off today. Studio producer Sarah Tafoya is with us. Thanks so much for joining us across America and beyond, wherever you may be on this Monday morning listening to Relevant Radio. It is always a joy and a privilege to be with you to start the work week as summer is absolutely winding down. Hey, Sarah, happy Monday to you.
Hey, happy Monday, John. There it is. It happens every week, and it's back again.
Well, this one's a little bit different because it really starting to feel like, you know, the kids are back in school, starting to feel like we are headed for fall.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what? And that is bound to happen as well. You know, like eventually it starts to get a little bit chillier, and we have to break out those sweaters. My husband's favorite time of year to break out those sweaters and those pumpkin spice lattes. They'll be here before we know it.
It was cool enough here in the Chicago area this morning. I probably should have had a sweater, but I went without one. So we're getting ready.
Well, you know, it'll warm up by the time you leave and I leave. It'll probably be nice and toasty. We won't need that sweater. So you just got to suffer through that first walk into the office.
Exactly. Well, one thing we do know for sure is the kids are back in school. I know yours went back a couple of weeks ago. My guy went back on Thursday. But by now, just about everybody is settling in.
Yep. No, back in school and all of those regular habits that are happening. Man, we just got to get back into the habit. That's for sure. It's always hard, man. It's a hard transition to go from the freedom of summer to having those restricting, which feels very restricting after summer, getting back into the habit.
What's the most challenging habit that you want to get back into?
Oh, man. You know, the bedtime is the hardest thing, I feel like, because, you know, it's still kind of sunny outside and you want to stay out. You want to be playing baseball or basketball or going to the park and, you know, whatever, bike rides, whatever it is that you and your family love to do. It's hard to break that. And all of a sudden, now we got to get ready for bed, and because you got to get up. You have to get up at a certain time. You can't just sleep in.
Yeah. And kids need their rest. According to all the experts, they need more sleep than us adults.
Well, thank goodness, because I need all of the sleep I can get. So I love back to school because that means I can enforce an earlier bedtime, which means I get that earlier bedtime. So I enjoy that as well.
What about the schedules? How do you manage the schedule? Do you have like a calendar on the refrigerator?
Oh yeah, you need to have something. I think when I'm not always very good about, you know, updating and managing that well. And when you don't do that, usually there's something. I'm also known in my house as like the most forgetful person ever. So I need to have something written down. And I was saying that, you know, I have a calendar at home and at work, and sometimes they don't match up because some things are on one and not the other. And, you know, that doesn't really work very well. So I have to get better. That's my goal. Get everything together so we all know, you know, everybody knows what we're doing that day and that week. And me and my husband, we have to go through it at the beginning of the week. Hey, what's going on? Where are we going to meet? And all that kind of stuff.
Now, do you guys split duties when it comes to the kids' lunches?
Yeah. Well, luckily, our two oldest have taken it upon themselves. Hey, we're making our own lunch. I think they didn't like I was adding too many cucumbers or something. They didn't like it. Make sure there's enough Cheez-Its or hot Cheetos, whatever it is they want to have in there. They want to make sure they're getting what they want and what they're, you know, sometimes, you know, school lunches are very tricky. It's not just what you're going to eat. It's what you're going to barter with. You got to bring certain things. It gets very, you know, complicated when you get to those certain age levels. So what about your son? Does he barter food at school or he just eat what he's bringing?
He brings his own. And they have hot lunches. Like this morning, he didn't need, you know, a ham and cheese sandwich because they've got hot lunch. So
okay,
he was all excited about hot lunch.
Well, and you're looking at the list of what is available and you're thinking, yeah, no, I'd rather have that than one we have at the house. So sometimes it's nice to know, you know, what is it worth going in and what is it just, that's not good, I'm bagging it.
And obviously, there's a difference between, you know, the little ones, you know, first, second grade, And high school kids like mine.
For sure. Yeah. No, my little kindergartner, he's still getting his lunch packed by me. Usually I do one half of it. My husband finishes off. So that sandwich is nice and fresh because, you know, you don't want to be sitting that sandwich sitting in there for too long. So we make sure it's a nice fresh sandwich for them. And they get their water bottle or all their little miscellaneous things. My husband's very good about making sure all those last minute things are ready before they're out the door.
All right, we heard from Brooke Taylor with the headlines there at the top of the hour, filling in for Glenn, who I think may be off enjoying himself at that Minnesota fair that talked about last week.
I can't wait to get a report from him tomorrow. What were all those new foods? What did he taste? And, you know, how's it going down there? He'll give us a full report, I expect.
Yes, he will. But one thing that may not have been reported as much was Saturday was National Dog Day.
Oh, yeah, it's so exciting. And, you know, when you have a dog in your own home, it's something that you probably celebrate a little bit more. We didn't realize it was National Dog Day. We don't have any dogs in our house, so we missed it. But, John, you and your family celebrated in big fashion.
Yes, we did, because it was kind of National Dog Weekend for us, because our beagle, Blaze, and, you know, Blaze comes up here quite often in conversation because I'm a big beagle lover. We celebrated Blaze's 6th birthday, so he is
so
a
cool
6-year. He's no longer a puppy, even though he still answers to puppy. You know, I say, hey, where's the puppy? And he comes running, of course.
Well, it's that affectionate little nickname, and I think everyone's got one, so it's always nice. He's still answering. He's not embarrassed when you call him puppy.
For sure. So part of the celebration was taking him to go visit my mom at the nursing home with the Little Sisters of the Poor down in Chicago. And what a thrill it was for her to see Blaze. After all, she was the one who picked him out, you know, when he was just a little puppy. We adopted him from Beagle Fest, and we saw him, and she's like, oh, this is the one right here. And so we picked this guy out, and he's been a part of the family ever since. But the way the nuns at the Little Sisters reacted to see Blaze with his little tail wagging, you know, they were just, you know, smiling from ear to ear. And there's something to be said about our pooches that can bring that kind of joy and happiness, just unadulterated joy from our pets.
Well, somebody that will always listen to everything you have to say and never talk back. I can't disagree with that. That sounds amazing.
And as a special treat, I bought him an extra large bone with chicken inside. And I tell you, that dog was munching down on that thing for 2 hours before bedtime. In fact, he even jumped up on our bed with the bone. He would not let go of it. He almost skipped his meal because he was having so much fun with the bone.
Well, it sounds like it's a success for the dog weekend for sure for Blaze. Happy birthday.
It was a fun weekend, and we count our blessings with our little beagle Blaze. It was a big weekend for the Little League World Series as well. California won the Little League World Series title in dramatic fashion, as heard on ESPN.
Forever it was up there.
Oh, if you could see the bat flip. He threw it up in the air. This kid was celebrating. I mean, they were just going nuts. It's so much fun to see the Little League World Series. And this was a walk-off home run to win it for the United States. So the U.S. wins it. This kid, Lewis Lappe, had hit. That was his 5th home run of the tournament. So I think that kid's got a future.
Well, and I think everyone in the dugout was probably super, super excited. And they were doing really well. But, hey, you want to win that game. So that last hit, that's all it took. And everybody was celebrating, I'm sure, for a very long time. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, usually after the game, there's the celebrations, especially if you win. But it's going to be a long celebration. You were talking about that dog weekend. It's probably going to be a big, long weekend. And next week, they'll probably be celebrating.
No doubt about it. The U.S. Wins their 5th straight Little League World Series championship. And this is the 8th California team to do it. But just a quick thought. You know, when the major leaguers win the World Series and they go nuts and they jump up and down like little leaguers, this is what they're emulating, the real little leaguers who do it like nobody else. I mean, it was such a celebration. It was so much fun to see those kids just going nuts.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, you're imagining what it would be like if you win. And then when you do, it's like, is this really even happening? You know, I can't even believe it. So I'm sure they're having a great time.
And some of those kids go on to play with the big boys one day. You know, there's been a number of major leaguers that played in the Little League World Series and, you know, got a taste of the big time when they were little. So who knows that this young man, Lewis Leppy, he could be an MLB player one day. Who
knows? Yeah, you never know. Well, you better go down there, John, and get his little baseball card, because you know that might be worth some money someday.
There you go. All right, Sarah, as always, thanks again.
You got it.
We begin every hour. First things first, we always give thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings. And we always pray through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God. And on Monday, traditionally, we pray for the souls in purgatory of our relatives and loved ones, all of our family and friends who really do need our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning and every hour when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You can find us on X, formerly Twitter. Our handle is at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And if you want to send us an email directly, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Matthew 24:42. Jesus the Lord said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come." Our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that he is coming back to take us with him. No one can know exactly the day or the hour of Jesus' return for us, either individually or at the end of the world. One thing that we do know for sure is that Christ will return at a time that we least expect it. Therefore, we must always be ready. We must be ready with a childlike faith and trust, and always pray with great confidence. That prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. We need to take a short break on the other side. When we come back, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, the baseball priest, will join us to continue his series on the Ten Commandments. This morning, we're going to talk about the Fifth and Sixth Commandments. So stay with us. There's much more to come here on this Monday edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Glenn is off. Producer Sarah is behind the glass here this morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. It is great to be with you on this Monday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You can email us directly. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, this morning, we're going to continue our mini-summer series with Father Burke Masters about the Ten Commandments. We've been talking about them to better understand the commandments according to the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Joining us live to discuss the Fifth and Sixth Commandments is our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, the pastor at St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Hinsdale, Illinois. He's also the author of his new book, A Grand Slam for God, A Journey from Baseball to Catholic Priest. Father Burke is the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain, known as the Baseball Priest, and a longtime Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Burke. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It is always a joy to be with you on a Monday morning.
Good morning, John. Great to be with you. And we're getting toward the end of the baseball season, heading towards September, which is an exciting time. And, you know, the Cubs are in a big race for the wild card. So it's a fun time for baseball.
It really is, you know, and in fact, I thought of you because we always chat on Monday mornings. My son and I were watching part of that game Saturday night with the Pirates, and what an unbelievable debut for Cubs rookie pitcher Jordan Wicks. The guy put on a performance for the ages. 5 innings. He retired 15 in a row, 9 Ks, 1 walk. I understand it's the best debut of any Cub pitcher ever.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing start. And, you know, he's their top prospect. And there was a lot of hype around this. And boy, did he live up to the hype. And so obviously, hopefully he's going to have a long career and there'll be ups and downs. But what an amazing way to start. And he may give them a big shot in the arm here as they head down the stretch of the season.
Yeah, they were saying that he's probably the most hyped rookie since Mark Pryor came on the scene back in 2003.
Yeah, he unfortunately had a lot of injuries, so we hope that Jordan Wicks stays healthy and has an amazing career. Seems like a good young man as well. I haven't had the chance to meet him yet, but you know, you can just feel his excitement as he was being interviewed.
Yeah, it is. It is really exciting. Happy for this young guy, and I think he just turned 24 years old. He doesn't throw super hard. He changes speeds like crazy. The kid's got some amazing, movement in his pitches, and kept everybody off balance after giving up a home run. Then he retires 15 in a row and 9 strikeouts. I mean, for a rookie in his major league debut with his parents cheering on and his family, it was amazing.
Yeah, they say he has 6 different pitches, which I wasn't a pitcher, I was a hitter. And, if somebody has 2 or 3 pitches, you can kind of narrow things down and what you're looking for. But when somebody has 6 pitches, it keeps you guessing. And, you know, to have 9 strikeouts, there's a lot of pitchers who don't go a whole season or sometimes a career without striking out 9 in a game. And he did it in 5 innings.
Pretty exciting stuff. All right. Well, we'll be definitely keeping an eye on the Cubbies here down the stretch. Your beloved Chicago Cubs.
Yes, I say it's going to be fun. I know football is starting here soon, and so it's a great time for sports fans, especially those who love both baseball and football. And if your team's still in the running in baseball, you might need 2 screens coming up in the next month.
There you go. Well, Father Burke, we're going to continue with your mini summer series on the commandments here this morning. And we've already talked about the first 4 commandments today. Let's begin with the 5th commandment, you shall not kill. There's a lot more to this commandment than just that edict, you shall not kill. Can you talk a little bit about the overall meaning of this commandment, and especially when we think of the unborn?
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, when you have a casual conversation with someone and might bring up the topic of confession. Of course, it's not a casual conversation for anyone, but as priests, we hear it a lot. And, you know, someone will say, well, I haven't been to confession in a long time. And I'll say, well, at least I haven't killed someone. You know, that's kind of the measuring bar, someone will say, and like, well, that's setting the bar low. But even this commandment, thou shall not kill, is not just about, you know, murder, but it incorporates a lot of things. So as an overview, it talks about the respect for life at all stages. So it talks about legitimate defense. So your ability to defend yourself against someone who is an unjust aggressor. It does talk about homicide. Abortion, you know, is a form of killing. If we believe that life begins at conception, then abortion goes directly against the 5th commandment. Euthanasia, which has become a big topic in our country, where there are some states who want to allow, you know, killing someone at the end of their life when they believe that they don't have any quality of life. But we as Catholics believe that all life should be respected from conception to natural death, to let God be the judge of when someone dies. Of course, suicide, and that's another topic where, you know, we believe that if someone commits suicide, you know, that are they psychologically choosing this, you know, because there's three criteria for a mortal sin. You know it's wrong, you do it anyway, and it's a serious matter. And so, you know, is that always a mortal sin if someone is, you know, under such duress that they commit suicide? So those are some of the overall markings of this fifth commandment that goes much deeper than, you know, just killing someone that we think about when we hear the commandment.
What about some of the exceptions to this commandment?
Give me an example, Jen.
Well, for example, in self-defense, you know, the just war theory as an example.
Yeah, so the catechism says that you can't have a legitimate defense if someone is coming against you or people that you're protecting. So, you know, so for example, in the just war theory, we have a legitimate right if there's an unjust aggressor that's coming against us in our country. We believe that you can stop them, and if that does include, you know, giving them a lethal blow, then it is permitted even under the fifth commandment. But if they are not unjust aggressors, or if this can be done in any other way, you know, so we always try to avoid, you know, killing at all costs. But if it's to protect ourselves and our country, the lives of many innocent people, then we believe that this is allowable. Even then, though, I know people, and I'm sure listeners do as well, you know, people who've been involved in war, and boy, does it take a toll on, you know, our armed forces, because, you know, we were made to love, we were made to respect life, and even in war, boy, there's the psychological damage that happens to those that are involved is great.
And speaking of war, in the case of war, what does the moral law require?
So the moral law requires that we do all that we can to save life, to respect life, and to protect the lives of the innocent. And so it's a beautiful, you know, the just war theory is something beautiful that the church offers, you know, because people may say, well, what does the church have to do with war? But we do take into account the beauty of Scripture and then apply it to all the different aspects of life, including just war. So this should be something that informs our president, those that are involved in the armed forces, to say, okay, what is a legitimate defense and what is not? And we should never be the aggressors. We should never be the ones starting war. But if it is to protect the lives of the innocent, then just war allows us to do that.
There's so much more that we can talk about when it comes to the fifth commandment, but that's just kind of an overview of a few of the basics.
It is. And one thing I often talk to people about in the confessional too is the use of our tongue. So it's not always just about killing, but also killing one's reputation. So our tongue can be such a strong weapon. And words, as we know, can hurt terribly. And sometimes they're worse than, you know, physically hurting somebody. And so to always remember that everybody deserves their good reputation. They should be respected. And if I am speaking bad about somebody to hurt their reputation, to harm them, you know, publicly, you know, that's a sin against this commandment as well. And so that's something that we don't often think about. Gossip can be so damaging. And so I always try to think about if this person were standing next to me, would I be saying what I'm saying right now? And if not, then I shouldn't say it. I remember Bishop Barron telling us that we should only talk about someone to the extent that we're willing to help them. You know, so if you need to get somebody, you need a trusted friend to say, okay, this is going on with my friend. I need your help to help them. That's different than gossip saying, hey, did you hear what so-and-so did? And you're trying to hurt their reputation. So always keep that in mind with this commandment as well.
And let's go on to the sixth commandment, that you shall not commit adultery. What responsibility do human persons have in regard to their own sexual identity?
Yeah, so this is maybe the most commonly used commandment in the confessional, because our sexuality is so integral in who we are and so important. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery, it covers a lot of areas. It covers, for example, lust. You know, Jesus says, if you lust after someone in your heart, you've committed adultery. It covers masturbation, fornication, which is sexual intercourse between unmarried persons, incest, sexual abuse, pornography, prostitution, rape, and homosexual acts. The sexual act is such a beautiful gift that God has given us, that we believe that it's intended between a man and a woman in marriage. That's what it's intended for. And whenever our sexuality is used outside of that, the beautiful institution of marriage, then it's being used in the wrong way. And we all see that. And, you know, we see how the enemy, you know, entices people in this area of sexuality to get them to use their sexuality outside of marriage. And boy, does it cause damage. And so the church is not trying to take the fun out of life, and God isn't trying to take the fun out of life by the sixth commandment calling us to chastity. He's really bringing us to become who we were created to be. And an important distinction here is that chastity means that you're faithful in your state of life. For example, if I'm married, you know, if you're married, being chaste means that you are faithful to your spouse. As a priest, being chaste means I do not have sexual relations with anyone. So it's a challenging commandment, but boy, does it lead to true freedom and the beauty of life.
It's so fitting that we're talking about chastity and the sixth commandment here on this day in which we honor the great doctor of the church, St. Augustine, who had his own problems with chastity.
He did. He's one of my favorites, you know, and he admittedly in the confessions chased after the beauties of the world. And, you know, he lived in outside of wedlock with his girlfriend. They had a child out of wedlock. Unfortunately, their child died young. And then when he finally encountered Jesus through the preaching of Bishop Ambrose, becoming St. Ambrose, he realized, my heart has been restless until it rests in God. And he left his girlfriend, became a priest, a bishop, a saint. And he's a great role model for all of us, because this area of sexuality is a temptation for everyone. But when we put it in right order, the way God desires it in, you know, marriage, we find this great peace and freedom. And St. Augustine is a great example of that.
There's no question. And he's also a great sign of hope for all of us who may have at one time or another been involved in not living a chaste life. There is always hope, and he's a great role model.
Amen. And for all those who are listening that may be hearing this and thinking, oh boy, you know, I failed in so many areas, the sacrament of reconciliation is available to you. And it's this gift that God gives us. He knows that after our baptism, we're going to sin, but he's given us the sacrament of reconciliation to say, you know, I'm sorry, Lord, I failed in these areas. And when we come with a contrite heart, he can't wait to forgive us and say, okay, let's start over. With my grace, all things are possible. And as you said, what a great sign of hope that St. Augustine is, and his mother, St. Monica, who prayed for him for years for his conversion, and now they're both saints.
I'm with you 100%. Father Burke, as always, you know, I really appreciate your perspective, and also just to keep in mind that we were just really giving just a few of the main highlights. To go much deeper, there is a lot in the compendium, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, on this these fifth and sixth commandments.
Yes, especially these two commandments are so important, and as they all are, but I would, as you're saying, I would encourage people to do a further study. And then as you prepare for confession, these are great. You know, I often have people reflect on the Ten Commandments as a way to prepare for confession.
Thanks again, Father Burke. We'll have to leave it right there. Again, really appreciate it.
You're welcome. God bless you, John, and all your listeners.
Many blessings to you, Father. Father Burkemaster is the baseball priest and longtime Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Catholic speaker, faith coach, and author Kendra Von Esch will wrap up her summer series on conquering addictions and bad habits. So stay with us. There is much more to come here down the stretch on this Monday edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Sarah. Glenn is off today. Thanks so much for making us a part of your morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You can email us directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. You can find us on social media on X, formerly Twitter. Our handle is @MorningAirShow. As well as on Facebook. If you want to be part of the conversation this morning, it's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Now, this morning, we are wrapping up our Soul, Mind, and Body Summer Series on Conquering Addictions and Bad Habits with Kendra Von Esch. Last week, we talked about modesty in our dress, speech, and behavior. Joining us live from Chicago, Illinois, is Morning Air regular contributor Kendra Von Esch to put a bow on her summer series and wrap it all up. Kendra is a speaker, faith coach, a podcaster who is passionate about her Catholic faith and sharing her faith, her supernatural transformation and spiritual experiences while helping others along their journey as well. She's also the author of Am I Catholic? A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. Good morning, Kendra. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's great to be with you for the finale of your summer series.
Man, where did the summer go? Can you believe that we're already like embarking on September? It's crazy how time flew this year.
It really, really is. It has just flown by. But, you know, I think it's kind of ironic that we're finishing up your series on conquering bad habits and addictions on the feast of St. Augustine, who had to conquer a lot of sins before he became the great saint, one of the greatest of all time.
And God took his sweet old time with him as well. Remember his mother who had to pray for so many years to work with her patience, her humility. So for all of those out there who I know we have at least one person that we're trying to pray back to the church, just keep being persistent. I always say the three P's. It's a process. We don't know what God's timing is. but we have to be patient and we have to persevere. So let's all tap into Saint Monica. But yes, Saint Augustine, he is my man. He is my saint.
I can totally, totally relate to him and Saint Monica. I've always felt like my own mom. My mother, Margarita, was a type of Saint Monica. Never stopped praying for me when I was hanging out in the nightclubs as a young, 20-something guy that dumb and, had no idea what I was doing at the time. And she never stopped praying for me. And sure enough, I came back to the church big time and had a really big conversion. And here we are. And I know that's something that you can relate to as well.
Amen to that. And for anyone who's been, struggling with some of those not so virtuous habits and those tasks that we actually fall into. And I know when you think about St. Augustine, it's not the pretty things. It's the worldly things. It's the things that we all, I think, as you and I look back, thank you for our mothers for praying for us, because I know my mom prayed. She wasn't in the Catholic Church, but she prayed all the time because I was a party animal. I was out there drinking and smoking. And yes, I was being promiscuous. I mean, I believed what this world told me was love and respect for myself. And I had no idea that I was truly this child of God and how loved I was and how much forgiveness there was in this beautiful sacramental Catholic Church, all the beautiful graces we have. So I'm just, given hope on this last day of this, soul, mind, and body summer series, because it ain't over, everyone. That's the beauty of this walk. We just start the next step the next day. So if we can just remember that soul is first, soul is all about God, we have to have a relationship with God. It is St. Augustine who said himself, if you do not pray, you will not be saved. That's kind of scary. So if there's anyone out there that's struggling with prayer or struggling to just speak to God and hear his voice, learn, get on out there. There are so many beautiful things. And this particular radio station helps you. The app that's free that you download is a beautiful prayer devotion. It gives you lots of ways that you could deepen your relationship with God. And it's just this humble walk. And I hope everyone has tapped into the fact that without God, I mean, we really, truly can't do nothing. I wish I could say it any more simple than that, but it is that in a nutshell.
Jesus himself said, without me, you can do nothing. But we have a lot of hope. When you mention St. Augustine, his famous, quote from his prayer, "Our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they rest in thee." Gosh, that just hits home. It just really resonates. You can have everything, all the money, all the success, all the acolytes, all the headlines, means nothing if you don't have the Lord.
And, I didn't even know what that meant. I thought I was happy. I really did think that, okay, I've got a second home. I have two boats, a couple wave runners. I was living the life that the world told me would make me happy, climb that corporate ladder, get that power and prestige. I was all filled with pride. I didn't give credit to God for any of it. It was all me. And I was so selfish. And I didn't know that there was a God-shaped hole in my heart until I was face to face with him in reconciliation. That's a whole nother story. But when I touched it, I had that encounter with God in confession, everything changed. I knew that a God existed. I knew that it was in the Catholic Church, this God that I was speaking of, who touched my heart and my soul. And I came out of that confessional a completely changed person. So if there's anyone who's out there listening who has not gone to confession in a long time, remember, it's reconciliation. It's there for us to help us get back on that narrow path, which ain't easy, as you know, John, to walk on, especially as you're learning the teachings and you're struggling to die to your former self and be this new person that God calls us to be. But reconciliation, remember, cilia is in that word, little eyelashes to eyelash. Basically, we want to be reconciled with God. It's the most amazing sacrament in the church outside of the Eucharist itself, and it changed my life. So that's a little bit more hope for all of those people out there, because there is such forgiveness and love, and that was where I found my respect and my identity was in confession.
Confession, no doubt, is the remedy for our soul. Let's talk about our minds. Our Lord wants us to transform our mind. Do not be conformed to this age. He wants us to change the way we think. Talk a little bit about our minds in this spiritual battle.
Yeah, so we got to look kind of at how we used to see the world. We have world visions. We see things in certain ways during parts of our lives. And then if we've had the beautiful gift of faith where God touches us and comes into our heart, then we're going to start to see things differently. We're going to have those eyes that look at our past where we feel blessed by our past. And we can then look at our future and be hopeful for the adventure and know that our past is not necessarily what our future has to be. And then we can look at people who hurt us and really harmed us back in our lifetime, and we can have a different view of them, where we look at them as, oh, wait, they're a child of God too. They're certainly going through something. Obviously, they may not have God in their heart, so I'm going to look at them and love them where they're at. Know that they probably didn't intend to hurt me, and even if they did intend to hurt me, I have to forgive. That's God's commandment. It's not something that we get to choose. It's something that we have to do. We have to love God, and then, of course, ourselves and our neighbors, the two greatest commandments. And so when you think about the renewal of our mind, it really is a renewal where we can look at our lives and learn like a child and be happy to be taught by God and be looking at things that He rises to our eyes and say, oh, yeah, I never looked at it that way like that. Thanks, God. And then you start working on that in your life. So as we approach September, I haven't consecrated myself to Jesus through Mary. And I had an amazing Assumption Day at Mass that just touched my heart. And I was like, uh-oh, it's time for me to bring out true devotion to Mary, that intense St. Louis de Montfort, wonderful walk. And I'm telling you, it changed my life. But hey, if anyone's going to do it, be careful. It's a big one. It takes a lot of time. But that's where we renew our mind, by engaging in new things and learning new things.
And I think we can learn a lot of new things from the examples of St. Louis de Montfort and St. Maximin Kolbe, and the litany of saints that are out there that can inspire us in so many ways. St. Augustine, who we're celebrating today, that can remind us that saints are nothing more than sinners who kept on trying.
I love that. That's true. So back to the mind and paying attention. Doing that 24-hour journey right now, today, humbly giving ourselves to God, asking Him into our hearts, helping us be as gentle and as kind as we know. The word love is patience and kindness. So being that to ourselves and to others is really what the walk is all about. And then, of course, we've got that body that God gave us, and we can't forget to treat it like the temple of the Holy Spirit and move it and work it out, because when our body is in tune, we have feelings, we have sensations. God speaks to us. When we pray, by the way, according to the Catechism, it's our mind, our soul, and our bodies. It's supposed to be an all-encompassing event when we lift our hearts and minds to God. So we can't forget about this body and live a health span. The healthier we are, the more strength we have in our physical bodies, the better we're going to be as far as having courage, being evangelists, and being able to walk with our heads held high, not caring about this world, not caring about the culture, what it says. We speak truth. We speak about Jesus. We speak about the Catholic Church, and we have confidence, and we have that empowerment that comes from knowing who we are as Catholic Christians. And the body is part of that. We really do need to engage and make sure that we have strength and modesty, right? Make sure we dress according to our part, if you will, as children of God out there. And we'll let God do the rest with all of His grace.
Well, we talked about the soul, the mind, and the body here this summer in much more detail. You cannot separate any of the three. They all go together. Your final thoughts here on this finale, this last day in which we're wrapping up your series.
All right. So here's the deal. Soul comes first. It just lines up with the two greatest commandments. So if you are struggling with prayer, get somewhere to learn it. And practice and keep a daily routine. Just do it for 15 minutes. Make that commitment and God will guide you. From your mind perspective, what are you going to do next? What are you going to learn next? Are you going to learn about discerning spirits? Are you going to learn how to deliver spirits? Are you going to learn how to hear God's voice? Maybe it's mental prayer. Maybe you want to get into putting some adoration in your time, in your day. Just as long as you are engaging yourself in a new way, and probably reading a little bit more scripture and reflecting on it. And then, of course, the body, get it moving. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. When we exercise the body, we also exercise the mind. And these three legs of the stool of life have to be strong and balanced. Otherwise, our life is going to be unbalanced. And that was the beautiful thing that God taught me about a year ago. And I'm going to be putting a book together, writing this all together. So pray for me that I get that done and I can get that out to help people to pull all of this together so we can live that health span, not that lifespan where we're just living older, but we're living better and we're living better evangelists and better disciples as well.
Well, Kendra, it's the end of the series here at the end of the summer, but you will be continuing on with us on a regular basis, like you've been doing for a long time.
Yes, and I cannot wait. So more topics all about walking that narrow path and keeping God first and then loving ourselves and others as well. So it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
And many blessings with your upcoming speaking engagements. I know you'll be at some conferences, but really do appreciate you being with us here this morning for the finale of your Soul, Mind, and Body Summer Series. Thanks again, Kendra.
Anytime. We'll talk soon. God bless, John.
God bless. Many blessings to you. Kendra Von Esch, our Morning Air contributor, faith coach, speaker, podcaster, and author. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Anyway. It's from the Paradoxical Commandments by Dr. Kent M. Keith, and it's said to be a favorite of St. Mother Teresa. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you'll win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help but may attack you if you do help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. From Romans 5, 3 and 4, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
And of course, our thanks to Glenn, who left us yet another powerful Glenn Story Corner here on this Monday morning. And that'll do it for this Monday edition of Morning Air. For producers Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, as well as Brooke in for Glenn, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air.